Hi friends, you are listening to the Eucharist Church podcast, and we have just entered our ordinary time. This is a season that we like to celebrate in the summer where we just make things a little bit simpler. So for the next 2 months, July and August, we are going to be gathering on Wednesday nights as we have been on Zoom. We have an amazing lineup of preachers, both from within our community and some guests from around Hamilton who are going to be exploring the fruit of the Spirit with us as we embark on what we have been calling Holy Spirit Summer. And so we encourage you to join us on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. There's a link on our website. And also on Sunday afternoons, we're going to be having not so much a gathering, but an open space for contemplative prayer. Our building in downtown Hamilton will be open from 2 o'clock till 6 o'clock every Sunday in July and August so that you can come and meditate. If you've never prayed in that contemplative way before, there'll be resources to guide you into that. At 2 o'clock every Sunday, there'll be a time of Teze singing, which is this gorgeous, repetitive, simple kind of singing. And there'll also be some meditations at 4 and 5 p.m. that will be playing over the system in there. And we will have some updates on what September and the fall will look like later on in the month of August. But for now, enjoy the sermon.
God places His Spirit in us, and what He's trying to do is to work in us to bring about our best, our most complete realization of the image of God that's placed in us. And part of that is what He's describing here with this idea of the fruit of the Spirit. When we're being made new by the Spirit, the result is these fruit. And these are qualities that are going to nourish us and nourish our communities, and they're going to accomplish God's intentions for humanity. So it's quite important stuff that we're talking about here. And as fruit, if you think about that image, it's not up to us to grit our teeth and somehow try to summon these things up. We just need to stay connected to the source and maybe cultivate and fertilize the soil for fruit optimization, if we want to work this metaphor like crazy. Clear out other obstructions through weeding and pruning, and then watch for and harvest the fruit as it comes, and then share that fruit around. Now, this list of fruit of the Spirit, I don't think is necessarily exhaustive. There may be other that we could note, but this list is certainly very attractive all on its own, and it is worth a lifetime of orcharding. So tonight, we're going to look at one of those fruit qualities that we don't often talk about. It's the next to last one in the list. And I think it's pretty countercultural for many of us. The fruit of the Spirit that we're going to talk about tonight is gentleness. Gentle. What I want to do is to take you through my thought process as I was trying to get my hands around this quality that God's Spirit wants to produce in us. What does it mean? How will I know if I'm producing this fruit? What might get in the way of producing this fruit? How do I help to cultivate space for it and then to share it around for others? To get started on this process, I asked myself, well, where do I run into that word gentle or gentleness? I saw the gentle cycle on the washer. So it may mean something like don't pummel the clothes so that they end up threadbare. I felt the gentle breeze as I sat on the deck. Okay, something not too strong, vaguely pleasant. I heard a person described as a gentle giant. That wasn't particularly evocative, but it was kind of a positive, non-threatening presence kind of thing. But I wasn't being particularly inspired by any of those. And then with the help of some conversations I had with some other Eucharites, I landed on a use that really kind of caught my imagination and made this idea of gentle come to life. And it comes from my world of being a grandparent, which of course is the greatest job on the planet, worth being a parent so that you get to be a grandparent. we've got a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old for our grandkids. And I realized the place I am most likely to hear and speak the word gentle is when we're playing with the grandkids. When the 6-year-old stands on tiptoes and puts her nose into the shelf of grandmom and granddad's travel curios and pulls down the delicate Japanese paper fan, we call out, "Oh, sweetie, gentle, gentle with that." Or when the 1-year-old motors across the room and grabs the philodendron leaves that are tantalizingly hanging in the corner, we gasp out, "Gentle now." When the neighbor's pet eagerly greets one of the three, I will rush forward, calling out gentle both to the kid and to the dog, because I don't want anyone hurt in the process. Or when the 2-year-old sees the 1-year-old for the first time in a couple of weeks and is just so excited to see his cousin that the 2-year-old barrels forward with a bear hug for the 1-year-old, and in a mix of joy and terror, I call out, "Gentle!" And then as the 1-year-old struggles to extricate himself from all that tenderness, we chant, "Gentle, gentle, gentle," as we disentangle arms and legs. Gentle. Gentleness. When you work through the word studies for this term that Paul's using in this list of the fruit of the Spirit, of gentleness, that kind of captures the sense of what he's talking about. In the Greek word use in Paul's day, gentleness meant something like not being harsh when you're dealing with others, or not seeking to control others by asserting your will over them. It's about having a clear sense of your own place in the world. What is mine to manage and rule over, and what's not? In other places in the New Testament, it's used for things like correcting someone when they're wrong, but doing it without arrogance or anger or any kind of harsh punishment. It's used to suggest a person who is really ready to be taught. That's a gentle person. And when the word shows up in Jesus' own teachings, it's in a major, very famous spot in his teaching. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, in the middle of all those blesseds, one of those blesseds is, "Blessed are the meek, because they will inherit the earth." And meek is the same word as this word for gentleness. In that teaching, meek, the meek ones, the gentle ones, are the ones who acknowledge God's will first, and as a result, they don't have to try to force their will on others. And that's how Jesus says we actually participate in ruling, because God's the one who's ruling then, so we participate with that. And if you follow that a step further, if I'm showing gentleness, meekness, and I'm seeking only what is God's desire for this world, then I no longer have to worry about or impose or police or punish those that I think are out of line or are wrong or are foolish. All I have to do is kind of lean into being what God wants me to be, and then I let God worry about the others. The only one I need to control is me. And if you look at this list of the fruit of the Spirit, what's the next fruit in Galatians chapter 5? It's self-control. But that's up to Kevin to discuss in August when he gets that one on the list. The other time this shows up in Jesus' teachings is when he invites us to come to me, everyone who is weary, heavy laden, carrying heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. Gentle means having the kind of presence that invites others to rest. Being around a gentle person means you can relax. you can find peace and calm in that place, just like the peace and calm that Jesus offers. So draw all that word study stuff together. Gentle means holding a deep respect for others, being sensitive to what might hurt others or what might push someone else to feel a need to hurt someone. It's not seeking to be mighty or powerful or to use force to control another person or any other part of creation. And you hear how that then links into a lot of those other fruit of the Spirit things like kindness and love and self-control and patience and generosity. So they all work together this way. Trevor Noah told a story a couple of weeks back on his show when he was talking about an issue in world politics. He was challenging one particularly powerful nation to restrain itself in retaliating against a neighbor. And his story was this. He said, when he was a teen, he had younger siblings that would just drive him crazy, annoying him until he just wanted to pulverize. And about the time he would reach his breaking point, his mom would say to him, I know they are pestering you, and I know you could destroy them because you are bigger and stronger. And that is exactly the reason that you must not pound them into the ground. Because you are strong, you're able to keep that in check. Gentleness. As we seek gentleness, we're attuned to caring about what God cares about and what Jesus modeled, rest for other people's souls. Now, isn't that beautiful stuff? Like that's great stuff. And I am eager to see that the Spirit produce that fruit in me. And Paul actually says kind of sarcastically at the end of that sentence, and there's no law against any of this stuff. But I mused on that. I found myself asking the question, well, then why don't I cultivate that more? How is it that my tendency is often otherwise? Or another question was, where do I tend to be anti-gentle? And so I can clear that out of the way. So where am I anti-gentle? Well, that made me remember a day in one of my doctoral classes. We were discussing specific challenges in ministry, and we each had to present a case study verbatim about a time when we were in conflict with someone else. So when it was my turn, I presented a very faithful script of a conversation that I'd had with a ministry colleague over a program that we were running in our congregation. We had significantly disagreed in a previous meeting. And so the verbatim that I was presenting was about a follow-up conversation we had where we had agreed that we were going to sit down and hash through this decision that had to be made. And so there I shared the verbatim of this, how we had discussed things, and I was honest in the way I presented it. And when the other students took their turn to kind of comment on it and say what they thought about it, they were quite affirming of my approach. They said things like, you listened to your colleague really well. You kept to the topic. You were clear and you were logical in your approaches. You offered plans and solutions. Well done. And so as I'm basking in that, the professor paused. And she said, well, and she paused again. She said, all that everybody else has said is true, but I also noticed one other thing. You have sort of a heat-seeking missile approach to this conversation. Every time your colleague moves, you follow and have a way to counter him. You are polite and you don't show any anger, but you always manage to blow up his every. And I started laughing because she'd actually nailed it. She got what I was doing. I was being a heat-seeking missile. You see, anti-gentle can sometimes look very nice and polite, even pleasant, but it's still about trying to control or manage or manipulate or win over another person. It's about getting my will done. When might that happen for you? I know it happens for me when I am really convinced, too convinced, that I am right. When I am so sure that my way is the way. Think about so much of the ugliness that is part of political and social discourse these days. The environment on social media often, it's anything but gentle. When you think about it, though, often it's actually motivated by a person having a really clear sense of being right, or maybe of being righteous in the process, but it ends up placing truth over love or rightness over actually caring for another person. And that's still anti-gentle. It happens when I feel a need to assert my will and to control others. Perhaps I think I know best, or I think someone else doesn't have the goods to do whatever it is. But I try to control, and somehow I forget maybe the other person's needs or the other person's gifts, or simply the other person's humanity. Anti-gentle. Sometimes it's predicated on my own self-protection. I'm feeling threatened. I perceive myself to be threatened, and my missiles will launch. Someone names my failings, and I fight back. A situation hurts me or makes me feel powerless, and so I go anti-gentle to take back my life. Sometimes it's just anger that gets the better of me. The crimson of anger is anything but gentle. I will correct this situation, so get out of my way. Sometimes anti-gentle is simply when I get so excited or enthusiastic about something that I just roll over someone else in the process. I blast them with the fire hose of my passion about whatever it is that I'm passionate about. Why wouldn't everyone else want to be enlightened about this great thing that I've discovered? Perhaps they're not so interested because I have not shared it in respect and in gentleness. So, back to that image of the grandkids. Maybe the one-year-old is convinced that that block he's holding is made for throwing. And maybe the two-year-old is simply trying out his strength and inventiveness. And maybe the six-year-old's afraid of being bitten by her brother. Maybe the two-year-old is just so excited about that new cousin that he almost strangles him. And maybe they don't really get the word gentle as I call it out across the room. But if I'm really on my granddad game, I will move close to them and I will take that small hand and show it how to touch the flower gently, to feel its silky petals and to leave it beautiful and intact. I'll sit with that kid and show how satisfying it is when you build something with the block rather than hurl it at the window. I'll engulf those little arms and show them how to gently hug that new baby cousin. Gentle, child. And the Holy Spirit is always on their game of bringing the fruit of gentleness. If I allow the Spirit to do so, the Spirit will take my self-righteous or controlling or self-protective or angry or even just over-enthusiastic hands and teach them, cradle them, so that they can touch the world in his meekness. Gentle. Gentle child. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian.